Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's see if this little premise is true. This is Wretched Radio. Why do most cable... No. Why do all cable news programs have salacious content, airing dirty laundry, slandering people, making accusations against politicians? Answer, we like it. We like it a lot. Even you think that CNN or Fox, for that matter, are ideological in their content choices, I would say to a degree they are, but they are driven more by cashish. If a story will get more eyeballs, if a way of presenting the news will get more viewers, driving up their rating points, which means they get to sell their advertising slots, their inventory for more money, they would do it. If CNN believed that they could make more money with a different style of programming, they'd do it. But they're filling a slot. They believe that they are maximizing the revenue return. And they present to us nothing but tittle-tattle. Slander. Here's the story. This is great. Lester Holt, by the way, the evening news guy. I think he's at NBC. He stated that reporters, they do not need to hear both sides of the story to determine the truth. Well, that's not what the book of Proverbs says, specifically 18:17. You have to hear both sides of the story. Proverbs 18:13 says, a fool rushes to judgment. Lester Holt is a fool by proclaiming that you don't need both sides of the story to determine the truth. Why? He's so agenda-driven. Nevertheless, if Lester Holt were told tomorrow, you start reading these stories because they're going to make us more money, he'd read them. But they don't. And there's a reason. It's because we like the salacious. We love to see dirty laundry aired. We have a propensity, all of us, even as believers, to like to hear about the scandalous. Let's see if I can test my theory. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a number of stories, and they happen to have a theme. They're all good news. Let's see how long you can stand this. Bodie Bauckham is doing fine. Bodie Bauckham is just fine. Apparently, the fellow that we all love had a little ticker problem, thought he might have to have a heart transplant, flew in from Zambia via Dallas to get to Florida to the Mayo Clinic. A lot of people praying for him. Turns out they did a little bibbity-bobbity medical boo, and he is going to be fine. Just needs to exercise his heart a little bit more, make some lifestyle changes, apparently. Although he seemed pretty healthy to me. Nevertheless, he's doing fine. Hello? Jimmy, are we still on the air? Is anybody there?
We're here. I don't know about anybody else.
Good news story. Good news story number two. The Sixth Circuit, what? Sides with a Christian professor who refused to call a trans student by preferred pronouns. Hey, victory. Let me ask you a question. Have you been seeing any good news stories lately, either through your Christian feed or through your secular feed? There is some good stuff happening. In fact, I would not make this a perfect observation about recent current events, but let me just offer this perhaps to you as a bit of a consideration to perhaps not feel quite as much angst as perhaps you have because you've been getting a lot of bad news. Maybe this will just help a little bit. Now, even as I try to articulate this, I'm wrestling with how to not be myopic and not be aware that there are indeed signs of troubled waters. Because let's be honest, they're rippling right now, and we could be headed for the rapids and for a great big fall. I'm not naive of that. Having said that, how many news stories did you hear before the election that said if Joe Biden wins, this is going to happen? They're going to take your kids. They're going to do things to the education system. You're going to lose your rights. Your 401k is going to absolutely crash. You're going to lose your retirement. Those were some of the threatenings that we heard during the campaign, were they not? So just ask yourself the question. Now, again, I'm aware that they're working plenty hard on making a mess of things. I get that. But did all of those dire warnings get fulfilled yet? Has the stock market crashed? How's your property values at the moment? Now, of course, the whole market could crumble tomorrow. But today, a lot of the doomsday warnings, while we're absolutely all keeping an eye on the progress that they're making in undermining an entire country, the roads are still open. I know New York is doing that thing with the vaccination business. I get it. I understand all the threatenings. I know how businesses are now acting almost like most of the dystopian films of the 70s that predicted that businesses would become the strong arm of the law, not government, but that businesses would be the ones that controlled societies. And increasingly they are. I get all of that. But at the same time, you don't have a band around your arm. You still are able to do commerce and trade, and we're going about our business, because maybe, just maybe, some of those predictions were just a little bit hyperbolic, because it was, after all, an election. And maybe just by looking at some of the things that haven't happened, we can go, okay, maybe it's not as bad as I've been imagining. Maybe that was for your consideration. The Sixth Circuit sides with a Christian professor who refused to call a trans student by a preferred pronoun. At Shawnee State University in Ohio, a philosophy professor just couldn't do it. He believed that it violated his Christian conscience, and so he said, I can't do it. He's a member of the Presbyterian Church of America. The story is fascinating. After a complaint was raised with the school administration, a superior advised this fellow to refer to all students by their last names and eliminate all sex-based references in class. He objected to the proposal and proposed a solution in which he would only refer to the transgender student by their last name while continuing to refer to the other state students with their proper titles and last names. What a brave new world we're living in. So just call the transgender student, you know, Smith or Miller or whatever he was, and the other students would be Mr. Hicks. That was what they negotiated. Well, he was told later that the student didn't like being the only one in the class called by their last name without a title, so the student threatened to file a Title IX lawsuit. This professor was told that he'd violate the university's non-discrimination policy if he didn't either begin calling the transgender student by the preferred title or simply refer to all students by their last names only. Well, on and on it goes. It went to court, and the guy actually won. That's a good story, isn't it? May I ask you a question? Will that story sink into you more than if he had lost? I suspect, I'm only speaking for myself, it would probably linger with me if it were the latter. But the lingering would be more acidic than it would be profitable. Oh, boy. Here's another one. Here we go. All right. West Virginia implements nation's most expansive school choice program by helping pay for private and homeschool. This is a part of the Hope Scholarship. Some states have this. If you don't, basically the government will pay for your kids' education, especially university, if they maintain a particular GPA. They pay for, I think, 80% of the tuition. You still have to pay for books. How well I know that. Books aren't cheap. Who knew that a textbook could be $300? Not saying it's a racket or anything. I'm just saying that's an expensive book. This particular bill, number 2013, will enable families who withdrew their children from public schools to receive a currently estimated $4,600 per student per year for private and homeschooling expenses. Hey, that's good news, isn't it? Let's go to Texas. Legislature passing a new piece of legislation, which is what legislators do. Thanks, Todd, for the observation and commentary. Couldn't do this without you. The governor is going to sign the bill, endorsed by the governor so far, that would prevent homeowners associations, you know how those work, from barring residents from putting religious items on doors. Now, I know it's kind of a ridiculous thing that there has to be legislation for that, but homeowners associations can be a bit persnickety, telling some people, take that religious symbol off your door. We find it offensive, or we don't think it matches the decorating scheme of the neighborhood. The government is stepping in. Okay, when I say government, it's Texas, and we all know that's just a different government than any other, because it's Texas, stating, nope, people can put whatever they want to on their doors. That's a good thing, isn't it? There is some good news going on out there. And might I point you to one last little piece of good news? Talk to your neighbors. You might discover, even though they are a Democrat, a liberal, maybe you get along a little bit better than the way cable news tells us we're getting along. Just maybe. Not that anybody's still listening. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for being here at Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who take time to tune in and listen on a daily basis. And we also appreciate each and every one of you who are gospel partners. You can partner with Wretched right now to save the lost. As a matter of fact, the more you give, the more we're always able to give away. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of God's people, just like you. We're members in good standing of the ECFA. In other words, we can't waste your money, even if we wanted to, which we don't and never would. Get all the information right now on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Your faithful and consistent support will help Wretched reach millions of people all around the world. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. You can give either at wretched.org/donate, or you can text the word Wretched to 44321. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Well, here's something you'll almost never hear a talk radio show host say. Don't be like me. That's right. A talk show host saying, don't be like me. Why? Because we dilly-dallied regarding MediShare. We learned about affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to traditional health insurance, which saves on average $500 per month per family. And we thought, And the next thing you know, over 24 months went by before we got serious about investigating MediShare. We did. It passed the Friel family sniff test, and we are very happy that we are members and only lament that we hadn't done it sooner. So please, don't be like me. Check out MediShare for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Call now. 1-844-34-BIBLE.
You've no doubt heard about this subliminal advertising nonsense before. You know, commercials that are supposed to have hidden messages in them. Well,
become a Wretched Gospel Partner.
Wretched firmly denies any use of this so-called mind control.
Become a Wretched Gospel Partner.
After all, Wretched is entertaining and charming enough.
Go to wretched.org/donate.
I mean, what's not to love about helping to reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel?
You're getting excited.
A ministry that's ECFA approved. So you know your donation is going to wise things.
That's getting your attention.
In fact, 83% of every dollar goes directly to ministry.
Take out your wallet.
So let's go ahead and put this subliminal advertising nonsense to rest. Nobody can do your thinking for you.
Become a Wretched Gospel Partner.
You either want to become a Wretched Gospel Partner.
You do.
Or you don't.
Yes, you do.
Wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to 44321.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The Wisdom of Man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the Wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, fine. That didn't work. Maybe this will. This is Wretched Radio. Mike Riccardi recently preaching a sermon on the rarely discussed sin of slander. Oh, how our flesh likes it, and oh, how much we do it without even being aware of it. There are certainly times when sharing information about another human being is necessary. In fact, that happens somewhat regularly. But when we do it for the purpose of sharing information that is not going to help the person, it will actually make the person become lower in the ears of the hearer. We're sinning. In fact, we're murdering, said Moses, equating slander with the murder of your neighbor. And that is why this is a sin you and I would do well to get a handle on. If you are inclined, like I believe we all are, to delight in hearing bad news, gossipy stuff, which is, by the way, so much of news on both social media, cable, whatever your platform is, so much of it is just telling something to paint somebody in a bad light. And it's usually high-profile politicians. We love to gobble it up. Mike Riccardi laying out some steps to help us avoid this sin. If you recall, the first step was not participating in it. Just don't share it. When you get yourself a juicy nugget, don't take it to somebody else. Don't carry that hot coal and dump it in somebody else's lap. Second, when somebody starts telling you, put the kibosh on it. Toot sweet. Don't let them even get it out. Why? Because they're going to be leading you into sin, and they themselves are sinning, and it's going to be difficult for you to not deal with that little nugget that you have been delivered and share it with others. So put an end to it when it stops. Is that easy to do? No. But I would ask you, if a friend walked up to you and said, hey, I want to go punch that person in the nose, would you say, have fun, I'll watch? No. You'd stop them. Well, gossip, slander, is worse than punching somebody in the nose. It's murdering them. It's killing their reputation. You would stop somebody from punching another in the nose. We need to figure out a way to say, oh, hold on, bud, friend, before you go any further, just checking. It's feeling to me like there's some maybe gossip or slander coming my way. Is that accurate? Now, here's what you're inclined to hear. Oh, no. I just have to tell you this because... And maybe that's valid. There are times, but chances are they're not valid. We need to stop it. That was step principle number two. This is number three.
A third directive is separate when necessary. Besides not repeating unsubstantiated accusations, besides not listening to them, besides not believing them, Scripture admonishes us not even to associate with those who gossip. Back to Proverbs and chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. He who goes about as a slanderer, it's the same exact phrase that you get in the law in Leviticus 19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. In other words, you have a duty not only to suspend judgment upon unsubstantiated accusations, you have a duty to separate from those who speak them. If someone demonstrates that they're going to persist in repeating slanderous charges, which haven't been corroborated by two or three firsthand witnesses, or even if they're in the habit of repeating true stories that just cast people in the worst of lights, always saying something negative about somebody, they're engaging in divisive behavior that threatens the health of Christ's church. This is not, as some claim, defending the sheep. It is not loving, protecting, serving, or edifying to the sheep. It is harmful to them for the reasons that we've seen from the Word of God. And so Scripture commands us to root out that influence from our lives by refusing even to associate with someone who is engaged in a pattern of talebearing. Not only will we protect ourselves from the malignancy of gossip, but by separating when necessary, we communicate to the one gossiping that their behavior is harmful to the body of Christ and therefore unacceptable. Say, hey, brother, I'm sorry. I've got to stop you right there. What? What's wrong? Well, to be honest, you just got a lot of negative things to say about a lot of people. And it's a pattern of behavior that, frankly, I just don't want to expose myself to. It's easy for me to imitate. My heart loves sin, and I need to cut out that influence from my life. We need to have that, yes, very difficult, sometimes very awkward conversation.
How does that feel? If we understand what slander is, that it is a malignancy, would you not stop doing whatever it is that is causing your cancer to grow? I think we need to have a higher view of slander, meaning we understand how low it is and how bad it is so that we don't endorse it and certainly imbibe it.
On social media, we need to unfriend and unfollow those professional Christian gossip columnists. The muckraking yellow journalists who appoint themselves to be to the ministry of vocational busybodyism and scandal mongering.
Gotta ask you if you've done that yet. If what he just said is accurate, that there are Christian websites that are yellow journalism. Now, please note, nobody's suggesting they get things wrong. That doesn't mean we should be consuming it. And if it's negative, 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 carping, negative, look what we discovered. Hey, we found out about this and we're going to reveal that. We've got breaking news. I don't know that a ministry should be the breaking news source in evangelicalism. What role does that play in the edification of the church? Are there times we discuss bad things on this program? We try to do it with guidelines and a framework of discernment. There are appropriate times to be aware of bad things, certainly. But I think we know that this is something different. This is the source that perhaps you like that is just nasty toward everybody. And I would challenge you perhaps even a step further. If you're not bothered by it, it probably has more of a grip on you than you think it does.
It wouldn't exist if there weren't a market for it. It wouldn't exist if there weren't a market for it. And there should be no market for it among those who call themselves a Christian. Again, do not associate with a gossip. It's no wonder that Paul speaks so strongly about the church's need to protect the flock from such people. Romans 16:17 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them." And in Titus 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul writes, "Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned." Causing dissension and breaking down into factions are the inevitable results of slander and gossip. When you listen to malicious reports against someone, but you don't bother to hear the other side of the story and confirm the facts of that testimony,
Lester Holt,
on the basis of two or three witnesses, and you just believe the negative reports, what happens? You nurse, rather, a bad opinion of that person in your heart. You muse upon it, and you become angry. And you say, how could that man do such a thing? I respected him so much. How could she get off thinking that she could say something like that to that person? And eventually you become bitter and you start to hold yourself aloof from that person. Dissension exists in this relationship and the other person doesn't even know it. You're holding yourself aloof from them and they don't have any idea that anything's wrong. That's dissension. That's strife. And so those who are characterized by this kind of behavior are to be separated from. Separation in the service of unity. Titus 3:10, reject a factious man after a first and second warning. The elders of a church, as Christ's shepherd of his flock, as shepherds of Christ's flock, are called to protect the sheep from those who are intent upon acting against the lives of their neighbors. And so there comes a time when we must separate when necessary.
Are you prepared to do that? Let me perhaps just turn the table a bit. Might you be one who should be separated? We all need to take a little time to consume what Mike Riccardi has been preaching about regarding the sin of slander. It's fascinating to me that you are to reject a factious one. Factious one, a tittle-tattler, the gossiper, the naysayer, the just perpetual slander. It is so toxic, we must divide. Perhaps, maybe, we all need to do a little slander inventory. I'll do me, you do you. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. While abortion groups have made no progress at UN headquarters in the first UN conference on women since Joe Biden was sworn in as president. Countries who align with U.S. pro-life diplomacy only a few weeks ago when Donald Trump was in the White House blocked efforts of the Biden administration and the European Union to include controversial abortion-related terms and explicitly pro-abortion language in the annual agreement of the UN Commission on the Status of Women. The final agreement of the commission, known as Agreed Conclusions, retained only a single paragraph on sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights and one on education about sexual and reproductive health, the same as the last agreement of the commission. During the Trump administration, Brazil took a back seat to U.S. pro-life diplomatic efforts, but during the Commission on the Status of Women, Brazil insisted that any reference to reproductive health or reproductive rights should be qualified to exclude abortion rights. In their statement following adoption, the Brazilian ambassador to the United Nations said Brazil did not support the promotion of abortion as a method of family planning. Several pro-life countries also made statements clarifying their national positions on abortion. Just weeks into his presidency, Biden adopted an executive order directing U.S. diplomats to promote abortion at the UN. The order commits the U.S. government to promote sexual and reproductive health and rights, a phrase coined by the global abortion lobby to get around established UN policy against an international right to abortion. U.S. diplomats aggressively promoted the new phrase in the negotiations of the commission in recent weeks, but were not successful, largely because of countries who worked with the Trump administration to develop a strategy to block an international right to abortion. A CNN news story claiming it's not possible to know a person's gender or sex at birth was widely panned across social media this week, mainly because it was slated as a non-debatable fact. The story focused on two executive orders by South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem prohibiting males from competing in female sports. The article was highly critical of her position. The story said, quote, "It's not possible to know a person's gender identity at birth. And there's no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth." It didn't take long for Christians and conservatives to notice the sentence. Denny Berg, the director of the Center for Gospel and Culture at Boyce College in Louisville, tweeted, quote, "If you act like a propaganda outlet, people are going to treat you like a propaganda outlet. And this is blatant, CNN." The website eventually tweaked the sentence, although the change did little to appease Christians and other conservatives. The new sentence reads, quote, "It's not possible to know a person's gender identity at birth, and for some people, the sex listed on their original birth certificate is a misleading way of describing the body they have." End quote. No, I would say the sex on their birth certificate is an accurate way to describe the body God gave them. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, launches Pentecostalism and paves the way for the development of the modern charismatic movement. Pentecostalism is marked by a focus on supernatural gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is not enough to merely put off. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know how familiar you might be with biblical counseling, but if you've studied it even for an hour, you will hear a biblical principle regarding biblical counseling, which is using the Bible solely for the sake of helping people with their emotional issues. Christians who are struggling with whatever the issue it is, whatever it is, you've got to put it off. There are things that are causing you to not be joyful. There are things that are causing you to sin. Whichever side of the coin it is, if it's something that's a struggle, there's a putting off that is required. But that is not where biblical counseling ends. That tends to be where Christian counseling, an integrationist model, or secular psychology would tell you that's the end all. You come into my office depressed. You're no longer depressed. I guess our time here is through. That's halfway with biblical counseling, because not only are we to put off, but we are to put on. Not only do we stop doing the bad thing, we start doing its opposite, the good thing. This is one of the amazing, profound dynamics of biblical counseling, because this is the issue that causes an individual to have hope. Not only does the Bible have the power with the Holy Spirit to change your thinking, heal your emotions, but to get you going down the right and godly course. So not only will you not just be sad, you can have joy. Whoa. Biblical counseling does all that? It most certainly does. We have a brand new resource. It's called Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3. It's 62 lectures, short ones, give or take 15 minutes, on the subject of biblical counseling. This particular number 3 series deals with issues of suicide, depression, anxiety, cutting, bullying, self-harm, etc. It is a wonderful introduction to how to use the Bible to help people and to help ourselves, if you will, with emotional issues. We hope that you will avail yourself of this resource. It is hot off the press. It is available at wretched.org. You'll find it in our store. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 1, 2, and 3. And just to give you an idea of how robust biblical counseling is, I believe biblical counseling 1 is 94 lectures. The second one is 62, and this one is 64, whatever. Okay, I'm not good at math, but that's over like 200 lectures. What? On emotional issues? Does the Bible have that much to say? Yes. Yes, it does. And more. That is the tip of the iceberg. Barely even that, because the Bible is that robust. It's that sufficient for dealing with our emotional struggles. You can find Drive-By Biblical Counseling at wretched.org. And to demonstrate the principle of putting off and putting on, let's conclude a message from Mike Riccardi. We've been stringing it out for a number of days here on Wretched Radio. He gave some principles, some points. And you're going to notice, if you are now listening carefully, having been reminded of the principle of putting off and putting on, Mike has been encouraging us to put off certain behaviors. Listen for the turn around the corner regarding slander and gossip.
So don't stoke the fire, obey the duty of disbelief, separate when necessary. A fourth directive for the faithful follower of Christ confronted with slanderous reports or accounts of unsubstantiated accusations. Number 4, we must speak truth and dwell on the praiseworthy.
Did you catch it? So stop doing that stuff. Now start doing these things instead. If you are perhaps getting a handle on your tongue to a degree, starting to control the gossip, that's good. You're not done. Now you need to start using that pink thing to start speaking pure things, lovely things, worthy of praise things. You need to put off the sinful slander and put on a mouth that is filled with encouragement.
Speak truth and dwell on the praiseworthy. Don't just put off slanderous speech and malicious gossip. Put on the God-honoring, edifying, speaking of truth to one another.
Sorry to interrupt myself again, but don't forget that principle. Your sanctification process might just go, wow. by remembering the putting off putting on principle. This is just not spoken about enough in Christian circles. It is in biblical counseling circles, but not enough in just application and sermons. This is a principle that might give you a new thing to do. Not just fight against your sin, but start doing its opposite. Do you feel how positive that is? Yeah, mortifying sin, it's bloody and it ain't fun. But doing the right thing, the righteous thing, the holy thing, well, that's a challenge. And the blessings that come from that putting on obedience are indescribable. Don't forget, put off and put on.
I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I quoted from there earlier. Now I want you to read it with your own eyes. And in verses 17 to 24, Paul speaks about the believer's responsibility to lay aside the old self, which, he says, is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and to put on the new self, which, he says, has been created in the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness of the truth. He says, look, you're not unbelievers anymore. You're not in that old man, Adam, anymore. So don't live like it. And then in verse 25, the first practical implication of having laid aside the old man and put on the new man, laid aside Adam and put on Christ, is therefore laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We're members of one another, Paul says. If we belong to Jesus, we're members of his body. And therefore, we belong to one another as much as we belong to him. And since we're members of one another, we ought not to traffic in falsehood and unsubstantiated claims and thereby act against one another's life. Why? Because their life is our life. If we act against the life of our brother or sister in the body of Christ, we act against ourselves, against our own lives. And no one ever hated his own flesh. Proverbs 11:29, write that reference down. Proverbs 11:29 says, he who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise hearted. And then Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to inherit the wind. And therefore, we ought not to trouble and tear down our own house. We ought to work and to ensure that the church of Jesus Christ be devoid of gossip and slander. And so instead of falsehood, or at least instead of what we don't know to be true, we ought to speak what we can know to be true. We ought to speak truth to one another in the body of Christ. We ought to occupy our thoughts and our conversations with the truth of God's word. We ought to heed Paul's exhortation in Philippians 4:8 and to dwell on whatever is true, he says, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute and any excellence and anything worthy of praise. He says, dwell on these things. Our hearts and our minds ought to be so occupied with the glories of God revealed in Christ in his great salvation. Since we've been filled with the Spirit of truth, we ought to overflow in speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalm 33, verse 1 says, praise is becoming to the upright. It is becoming. Praise is fitting for the upright. Those whom God has made new through faith in Christ, it's only right for their lips to be preoccupied with praise and thanksgiving to God, not with malicious gossip concerning their neighbor.
How do you know if you have put on truth-telling? Speaking praiseworthy things, ask yourself this question. When was the last time, pick your environment, it's home, it's work, it's church, where you approach somebody in the lobby, at the coffee table, in your office, and said, I got to tell you about something. You know our coworker? You know the guy who's running the youth program? You know our son? Just did the most amazing thing, and I had to tell you about it. clearly God is working in that person's life. They actually went the extra mile and did the kindest thing. I'm so impressed. I just had to tell you about it.
When was the last time? Aren't we inclined, though?
Hey, did you hear about Jimmy?
And how come the Ginsu knives called your tongue? Perhaps, maybe. All of us would do well to do a little inventory check and remember the biblical principle, not just putting off slander, but putting on words that edify. That should give you something to do today. This is Wretched Radio. Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charged for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote a second epistle to clarify and defend the Christian message. He asserts the authority of Scripture, warns against false teachers, and reminds us that the end is coming. But God is patient, allowing all of his people to come to repentance. If you want a clear contrast between true and false Christianity, look to 2 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe. Thought I'd try a new voice. Spanning the globe.
Sounds the same.
Pretty much. I don't have much range. To bring you. Sounds kind of like the boxing announcer. Spanning the globe. To bring you a bunch of stories we had to figure out a way to string together. So we played a snappy music because it's got the word wide world in it.
even though it's about sports, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff all slapped together called... Typical Christian radio. Hey, here's a news story. And then once in a while, the producer walks in, slaps the host on the back of the head. Hey, don't forget a Bible verse on occasion. Oh, yeah, Bible verse. Yeah, I forgot. We're doing Christian radio here. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying. I've heard that plenty before.
So is that my permission to slap you on the back of the head?
You may slap me on the back of the head any old time you feel like it. Be careful. I have a fair amount of product. You could hurt yourself. Just so you have been warned. We hear a lot of people say that it's Christian news, but you don't hear much about Christianity in it. It just is the news, basically. Let's see if we can do better. I got to tell you, I didn't think there were any of these guys left. This is an Episcopalian bishop who's going to leave the Episcopalian denomination. Going to become a part of what I believe to be a pretty sound breakaway group, the Anglican Church in North America. He's leaving. Why? Because the Episcopal Church is now insisting every single church must perform gay marriages. It's not an option. Huh. I wonder if that could possibly happen in our country. Nevertheless, the Episcopal Church enforcing it. How staggering is that? A Christian denomination. Not just saying, well, it can be okay. Well, if you want to, fine. Oh, no. You will do it. What is, if that isn't Romans 1, I'm telling you, I don't know what is. And then you not just see, not only do you see the depravity into sexual sin, it's always goes the sexual nature, any sort of cultural demise, the goal is just complete sexual debauchery, but the stamp that you're there is that people give hearty approval to it. In other words, they pass legislation saying, yep, that's the way it needs to be. That's what the Episcopalian Church did in 2018. Passed a rule. You must perform gay marriages if you're going to remain in the denomination. So the guy left. And then you get this quote. This might be the quote du jour. No, maybe just the quote of the day. This is the fellow who let the guy go when he offered his resignation. This is the Episcopal Church presiding bishop, leader of the denomination, released a statement in response to the announcement. Quote, our conviction. No, I should read it like an Episcopalian. Our conviction to do this thing is based on. The conviction is not based on a social theory or capitulation to the ways of the culture. No, it doesn't. Rather, it is born of my belief that the outstretched arms of Jesus on the cross are the ultimate sign of the very love of God, reaching out to embrace and welcome us all. With the exception, of course, of somebody who disagrees with us on this issue. Then Jesus doesn't welcome them, and neither do we. Well, salute to the fellow who's going to find a home in the Anglican Communion North America, the Anglican Church North America. And speaking of the LGBTQ issue, global acceptance, it's on the rise. People in the U.S., India, South Africa, Japan, South Korea, Mexico registered the largest gains in public acceptance with gay rights since 2002. Thought this was a bit interesting. By the way, in the U.S., 72% say that homosexuality should be accepted. Do you feel the ground underneath you slipping away? Bible-based Christian? 72%. I don't know if you're good at math, because I'm not, but I kind of get an inkling this ain't adding up. Because you see, still about 70% of America says they're Christian. And yet 70% says that homosexuality should be accepted. Gay marriage is fine. That's 140%. Something's not adding up with that, Matt. Oh, yeah. The Episcopalians, liberal Lutherans. By the way, speaking of liberal Lutherans, do you know that there are some formerly rather stout Lutheran universities that now have a relationship in some way, shape, or form, not necessarily a deep one, but a relationship with Planned Parenthood? Was reading through an article that was talking about, there somebody was doing kind of one of those, hey, on the social media, This is what's going on at a lot of Christian universities. They actually have a relationship with Planned Parenthood. And I looked through the list, and a lot of them happen to be Lutheran institutions. Why? Because they've slip-slided away, too. And there are a number of them that will tell their major donors, we're still doing our Christmas concert. We put on our Lutheran robes, and we sing the songs you know want to hear. But as soon as you leave, look out! I remember this vividly. I'm trying to think of the name of the Lutheran school in Minnesota that I visited once, where they would tell you that they are just a robustly Lutheran institution founded on the principles of Martin Luther. And when they do the Christmas concert, they gussy up the campus. It looks glorious. As soon as they leave, they go back to painting different buildings a rainbow color. That's what's going on at some of these institutions, because they have totally slip-slided away. Women, by the way, are significantly more accepting of homosexuality than men. That's globally, like by a lot. South Korea, men 37% say okay, women 51%. That's an interesting difference, isn't it? Not that there's any difference between boys and girls in any way, so I don't know why they ask if you're a male or a female. Aren't we supposed to be gender blind? Unless, of course, you want to be identified as a particular gender. Fewer than 50% of Americans have formal church membership for the first time in 80 years. That's bad news. This is the shriveling up of the American church as you and I have probably thought about it. Big, robust, the majority of folks, people going and on Sunday mornings. The numbers just continue to plummet. In 1937, when Gallup first measured formal membership in houses of worship, 70% of Americans were members of a church. Members. It used to be, once upon a time, you'll remember this flip-flop statistic. On a Sunday morning, let's say there were 1,000 people, or they had 1,000 members in their church, they would have 1,500 people attend, because there were more people attending beyond their members. Today, it's totally flip-flopped. If you've got 1,000 members, you hope for 400 people to show up on a Sunday. What happened here? Church membership means virtually nothing, and it should mean virtually everything to the Christian when we remember what that glorious institution is. 70% had formal membership in 1937, and that remained steady for 60 years. The decline started in 1998. Now, we're at 49%. Paging Paul Simon, 36% of millennials belong to a church. They think the number is just about the same for Gen Zers, give or take. But as the younger you go, the more progressive they become, the less committed to a local church they are. The share of Americans who do not identify with any religion has grown from 8% in 1998 to 21% in the last 3 years. The dynamics in our country changing, which means congratulations, you didn't have to get a passport, shots, and a visa to go to a foreign country to be a missionary. God has let your country become a foreign mission field because it ain't the same place it used to be. And you can stay in your home and just walk outside of your door and you can evangelize somebody. And might I do a shout out on something I have to confess to you? I've been really trying to contain inside of me since I was out on the campus yesterday witnessing to kids. No, when was I out? I can't remember. What day is today? Who am I? Why am I here? My heart was broken when I was talking to these kids again and again. The average conversation that I had with a kid on the university campus lately, it's no less than 20 minutes. These kids that are busy, they're doing their stuff. They could be napping. They talk to me, a complete stranger, for no less than 20 minutes. And it's pretty intense. And I get the distinct impression, many, not all, but many times, they'd like to keep going. When we're done and I shake their hand, they look at me like, well, where are you going? Won't you just stay and talk to me? You're an adult. And I'd love to talk to an adult and have somebody like speak like they know what they're doing. Please? If your local church is near a university campus, oh, please, 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 come up with a strategy to be there every week. These kids are literally dying, and they are looking for help, and we have it. Oh, local church, now is the time. Maybe one of our last ones. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.